Hi, Dove. Hi, Ike. Nice to see you, Ike. Here I am in Colorado, and I was just thinking today that if I remember correctly, Lynn taught Saturday night last night, and of course I'm teaching now, followed by Ike. That's three people from Colorado. It's a Colorado weekend, isn't it, in Pal Talk? So, yeah. Yay, Colorado. Monica says she doesn't hear me, but I see that you guys are referring to my Colorado comments. So I know the rest of you do. So, somebody please type into Monica that she needs to reboot, which is what I just did. It's also a night of rebooting. We are here right now for Holy Spirit Guides. This is the time that we're going over the personal messages that Holy Spirit has given me to be helpful to me. We've been going over them in chronological order, beginning in 2004, and right now we are up to February 2007. And I do have a link for you, which will be the first message that we go over tonight. This is the link. Let's see. The name of the message is Choose Your Meaning Consciously. So we'll be looking at that message in just a moment. But before we do that, of course, I want to go into prayer. So if you all would join me in prayer, that would be magnificent. Thank you very much. Holy Spirit, I am grateful to be joined with my friends in purpose. I feel that there has been times in our human history when the people who had the purpose that we have, the purpose of awakening to truth or awakening to self, seemed to be more alone in their choice, more alone in their seeking, more alone in their understanding. And now, Holy Spirit, I feel as if I am surrounded by a crowd of like-minded people. And I am grateful for that, Holy Spirit. So I would like to take a moment to express my gratitude for my many, many friends. So many that I don't even know them all by name. And yet we are joined together in this purpose, walking together, helping one another. It's a marvelous gift. It seems incredibly helpful. Thank you. Tonight, as we look at the personal messages that you have given me in order to be helpful to me, I ask that you help each of us to hear whatever may be most helpful to us right now, where we are on this path of awakening. And again, I thank you for mighty companions, and I thank you for your guidance and direction. Amen. All right. There we go. It is done. I'm not sure. Monica may have popped into the room like the second after I posted the link. I'm not certain. So just in case Monica didn't get it, there it is again. And again, this is a message that came in February 2007, and it's called Choose Your Meaning Consciously. So I'll start by reading the question that I asked that day. What does it mean to see all events as wholly without meaning, while we seem to be living in a world where decisions seem to need to be made? Please guide me. That's a good question, don't y'all think? If you know the answer now, I bet you a dollar there was a time when you didn't. How do I see everything without meaning when I got stuff I gotta do, right? Decisions I gotta make. How do I do that? So let's see what Holy Spirit said. So here's the answer. Yes. As long as your perception is that of living in a world, you will seem to need to make decisions. You cannot escape this because the world has some reality or meaning for you as long as you seem to be in a world. To see all events as wholly meaningless is a recognition that any meaning that is given comes from you. It does not mean that you will see no meaning. When you recognize that all meaning comes from you, you can question and change the meaning you are giving. In this way, no meaning is static. In this way, the purpose of every situation comes from you. We know it's interesting because if we're students of A Course in Miracles, we know that A Course in Miracles teaches that the world has two interpreters. Now, what an interpreter does is give meaning. That's what an interpreter does. And we have two interpreters. We have the ego, and we have the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit teaches us that everything is meaningless. But as Holy Spirit is explaining this particular message, what that really means is nothing has an inherent meaning. Right? Nothing has an inherent meaning. So, what we can do is we can choose what the Course would call the interpreter, or as it's being said in this message, we can choose the meaning. Now, sometimes in our lives, things happen that immediately seem bad to us. Seems like sometimes an obviously bad situation. And what Spirit is saying is that is not true. That is not true of any situation. That if we are calling it an obviously bad situation, that's a meaning that we have given it. And in fact, if we know the ego at all, we know that the ego is the voice of judgment. And so if we are calling a situation an obviously bad situation, then we are aligned with ego in that moment. And Spirit is saying, regardless of what the situation is, regardless of what the situation is. Oh, Barb had to reboot too. Okay, here, Barb, here's the link. Regardless of what the situation is meaningless, which means that we can choose a new meaning. We can assign the meaning. And one very common meaning that Holy Spirit gives to events in our life, in fact, Holy Spirit says, and A Course in Miracles, that this is really the only meaning that the world has, is that it is here for our healing. It is here for our healing. So if you look at a situation that seems to be obviously bad, but then you pause for a moment, you remember that it is a neutral situation, and then you remember that you can choose the Holy Spirit's meaning. The situation that was a moment ago bad in your perception now becomes an opportunity. So you see, the situation did not have an inherent meaning because you were able to choose the meaning, right? So again, I'm going to read the second paragraph and then we'll move on to the third paragraph. To see all events as wholly meaningless is a recognition that any meaning that is given comes from you. It does not mean that you will see no meaning. When you recognize that all meaning comes from you, you can question and change the meaning you are giving. In this way, no meaning is static. In this way, the purpose of every situation comes from you. In choosing meaning consciously, you come to recognize that you are the dreamer of the dream. In choosing meaning consciously, you determine the dream experience you would have. In choosing the dream experience, you free yourself from the slavery of the dream. In freeing yourself, you recognize freedom. And love is hidden from your sight no more. This morning at my house, we had an NTI study group. And a part of what we talked about was the perception of being trapped. That's a perception that most of us may have held at one time or another, or we may be experiencing it now. Sometimes people feel trapped by their jobs. They may feel trapped in their marriage. They may feel trapped by debt. They may feel trapped by illness. They may feel trapped by obligations, right? There are a number of things that can seem to lead to this feeling of being trapped. But what Spirit is telling us, of course, is that there is no true meaning and that we can choose the meaning. And that's exactly what we got to in the conversation today. We certainly got to the point of discussing that situations that seem to make us feel trapped are actually opportunities for healing. We talked about how awakening has nothing to do with form. Awakening is something that is formless and form independent. So that when we are awakened, when we know what we call the peace of God, that peace of God is not at all dependent on a specific form. A form that previously may have been something that we would have judged bad can still come into experience. But because we have awakened to the peace of God, we still experience the peace of God. We're no longer dependent on form. What that literally means is form cannot trap us. It cannot. That's an impossibility. So if we're feeling trapped by form, that's because that's the meaning I'm giving it. I'm giving that meaning to my job or to my obligation, as I may call it, or to my relationship. And if I don't want to feel trapped anymore, then what I want to do is select a new purpose or a new meaning. And again, a very common meaning that Holy Spirit gives to everything in our experience is that it is here for my healing. It is here to help me awaken. And if anyone has ever made the choice to choose this purpose, you know how immediately freeing it is. It changes a burden to an opportunity. This is what Holy Spirit means by choosing meaning consciously. Making a conscious decision to give our purpose to any and every situation. And he's saying that if we make this conscious decision to choose the meaning of the events in our life, we will free ourselves from the slavery of the dream. We'll free ourselves from being trapped, right? And as we free ourselves, we will then recognize freedom. And love is hidden from our sight no more. But the first step in this process is the choosing of meaning. Recognizing that we are the one that gives the meaning to everything in our life. And then consciously choosing the meaning that is helpful to us. And of course, Lynn right now is quoting A Course in Miracles, "I give everything the meaning that it has for me." The last paragraph in this particular message, you are the dreamer of the dream. It literally has no meaning except the meaning you are giving it. Choose your meaning consciously and behold as you awaken from the dream. It's interesting because these lessons about meaning are the first 10 lessons of A Course in Miracles, right? They're the very, very early lessons. But for many of us, we do not practice those lessons in our lives by choosing the meaning of the events. We still believe the events have an inherent meaning. In fact, a friend of mine said something to me today about a man in a movie. I don't remember now specifically what man or what movie, but it's not important. About a man in a movie who had to be in jail for 7 years. Oh yes, I remember now. It was Joseph. Yeah, Joseph in the Bible. You know, he was in prison for 7 years, imprisoned by the Pharaoh. And she said, you know, but what about him? What about him? And what I pointed out to her is what she didn't see is she was giving being in prison an inherent meaning, right? She was automatically deciding in her mind that being in prison is bad. And so poor Joseph, even though he was a holy man and a chosen person by God, still had to suffer for 7 years, right? But that was given inherent meaning to the experience of being in prison. So I pointed out to her that Peace Pilgrim was a couple of times picked up and thrown in jail. She was never in prison, but she was thrown in jail. And when she was picked up and thrown in jail, her attitude easily and automatically was, this must be where I'm supposed to be now. You see, she did not see jail or prison as inherently bad. She saw everything as having the purpose of her pilgrimage. And so being in prison was no different than being invited into a rich woman's house to stay the night. It was all the same to her. It was all seen through the filter of the purpose of her pilgrimage. Again, the first lessons in A Course in Miracles workbook are about choosing meaning. I give everything the meaning it has for me. And yet many of us do not practice that because we believe the ego's meaning that is applied. We believe this situation is bad. And what Spirit is asking us to do in this particular message is to begin to practice those first lessons by remembering that everything is indeed meaningless, and then allowing Holy Spirit to give the meaning to the situation and accepting that meaning as our meaning. So that's the end of that very first message. Now, the name of the next message is, How Do I See My Blind Spots? So if you are already in this particular message with us, you'll see up at the top, you can just click on How Do I See My Blind Spots, and that will take you to the next message. What I'm going to do for those of you who weren't in the message with us is I'm going to give you a link to How Do I See My Blind Spots. But before we begin that, I'm just going to let go of the mic and see if anybody has any questions or comments on what we've just discussed, giving meaning, consciously giving meaning to the experiences and events in our life. Okay, it looks like we are ready to go on then. So, the next message that we are going to read, How Do I See My Blind Spots? Actually, it looks like it's not a message from Holy Spirit. It looks like it's a message from Regina. This looks more like a blog post. So, I'm going to go ahead and read it, though. Sometimes I skip the blog posts, but I'm going to go ahead and read this one. So, here we go. It says, Hello, friends. In order to heal my mind, I need to be able to see or recognize that which needs healing and release it for healing. And then I comment on the Johari window, which some of you may be familiar with. I said, Joseph Luft and Harry Ingham's Johari window teaches that we have blind spots and unknown areas of self. If some areas of self are blind or unknown to us, how do we discover and recognize them so we can release them for healing? A Course in Miracles teaches that our brother is our Savior. He is our Savior because he is the reflection of our mind. Anything that I see in my brother that is an annoyance or fearful to me points to a blind spot or unknown area within my own mind that needs healing. The Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament teaches detachment from an observation of the body as a means of discovering blind spots or unknown areas of self. If I watch the body, what do I find it talking about? Is it talking about specific others and annoyances a lot? Is it discussing health issues a lot? Is it focused on sorrows within the world? A Course in Miracles and NTI give us two different ways of discovering our blind spots and unknown areas. Number one, observe when I am annoyed or fearful by what I perceive as my brother's sins, faults, and weaknesses. And it looks like I am quoting, or I'm pointing to, A Course in Miracles, chapter 19, section 4. And the second option is, observe my body's words and actions to discover where I place my faith and belief. And there I'm pointing to NTI Colossians chapter 4. If we observe with honesty and with healing as our purpose, we will discover our blind spots and unknown areas. We will discover them because they are not hidden. We are looking away from them through our own willingness not to see them. When we are willing to see them through observation, they will be known to us. With love, Regina. Okay, well, I have definitely used both of these methods of discovering my blind spots. But I think maybe one thing that's really important is actually the last paragraph, even the last sentence. When we are willing, hear that word? When we are willing to see our blind spots, they will be known to us. So, of course, one reason, in fact, the only reason that we could have blind spots is because we do not want to see. And what A Course in Miracles would teach is that the reason we do not want to see our areas that need healing is because of guilt. NTI would say that also, but NTI would use a different term. NTI would say the reason we don't want to see them is because of self-judgment. One thing that was really helpful to me about NTI was that term self-judgment. Because somehow when I read A Course in Miracles and I read about guilt, guilt seemed like something that was just there, you know, based on an ancient, tiny, mad idea. And I kind of felt stuck with it, stuck with this guilt, right? But then NTI came along and it also talked about guilt. But it said that guilt comes from self-judgment. And I understood that self-judgment is something I'm still doing now. I kind of understood that even if I'm letting go of guilt, if I'm also continuing to judge myself, that I'm replenishing that supply of guilt. And that's why guilt can seem so hard to let go of. So one of the first things that I learned from NTI is that I needed to, and I certainly had Holy Spirit's blessing in doing this, I needed to let go of self-judgment. I needed to accept everything about me, including ego me, not just capital S self, including ego me. I needed to accept my weaknesses, as I might call them, or even my sins, as some people might call them, right? I needed to accept them without judgment. Because as long as I continued to judge them, I would also be afraid to look at them. So I needed to say, it's okay. It's okay. I realize there are areas that are not right-minded, not aligned with truth. Areas that are completely coming from ego, completely wrong. I had to quit being afraid of that word wrong. I realized that all of that is going on within this personality. And I accept that. It's okay. And as I began to accept instead of judge, I then became willing to see my blind spots. There's a single quiet thought that came not too long ago. It was in the last year. It might even have been in the last 6 months. It's actually a prayer where Holy Spirit asks us to give our willingness to see what we have not yet seen. And he's referring to our sins or our weaknesses, right? Our ego. He's referring to our ego. And when that particular single quiet thought came, I read it here with a couple other people in the room with me, and both of those people had a strong reaction and said they could not do that. They didn't even like the single quiet thought. They wanted to throw it away. And at the same time, my heart was open, and I was totally, not only willing, but excitedly willing to pray that prayer. Please show me what I have not yet seen, what still needs to be seen and healed and released. What was the only difference between me and those two people? Is that those two people had not yet learned to let go of the self-judgment of the ego, right? And so because they had not learned to let go of the self-judgment, they still felt guilt about whatever might be hidden from them. And therefore, they did not want to see it. You know, guilt is a magnificent trick, actually. Because if we feel guilty and we do not want to see it, it also cannot be healed. Do you see how guilt actually helps us hold on to the ego? Self-judgment helps us hold on to the ego. Judgment comes from the ego and helps us to hold on to the ego. So if our purpose really is awakening, which is the same as letting go of ego, if that is our purpose, then we also need to be willing to accept our ego. Because you are either accepting it or you are judging it. There's not an in-between. And if you're judging it, you're feeling guilty about it, you'll be afraid to look and see your hidden areas, and they will not be released. So we start by accepting our ego. We accept it. It doesn't mean we're going to keep it, because we're not. But we're going to accept. We're going to say, it's okay that I hate this person. It's okay that I hate this person. Now I give my willingness to move into healing here, right? Because if I judge it, I'm going to keep things hidden from myself. Now, that was the last sentence, right, in this particular message that I wrote that day, but this particular blog post. But there are a couple other things here that are very helpful, but they will only work if we're willing to see our blind spots. They won't work otherwise, right? They can't overcome our will. If my will is not to see, guess what? I don't see. But when my will becomes seeing my errors, seeing my ego, so that it can be healed, so that I can release it, then there are tools that are available to us. And one tool, which we all know about, is our relationships. That's all relationships. It includes the people we live with, the people we are, quote, in love with, our family. But it also includes the other drivers on the road, right? The cashiers, the waitresses, the postman, all relationships. And what Holy Spirit is teaching us is that if I am annoyed or fearful, right, upset in any way, just upset by another, that means there's something in my mind that needs to be healed. Now, I made this a rule in my life, and I don't have many rules, because for the most part, Holy Spirit told me to let go of rules, because if I have rules, then I'm making decisions based on rules rather than asking for guidance in the moment. But this was a rule that I felt allowed to keep. The rule is, if I am upset for any reason, it is because I am looking through my ego right now. You got that? If I am upset for any reason, it is because I am looking through my ego right now. Now, I do talk to a lot of people on the phone, through emails, and one thing that I also know is that several people are not willing to accept that as a rule in their life right now. Several people still want to believe, no, I'm upset because he won't stop da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Right? No, I'm upset because this situation is unfair. Right? I'm upset because. That's what A Course in Miracles calls projection. And if we choose to hold on to I'm upset because and put the blame on anything else, then we are also choosing not to grab the opportunity to be healed in that moment. And sometimes it's important for us to stop and just ask, what do I really want? Somebody is quoting the Course. They're talking about the need to be right. But we know there's a question in the Course that says, do I want to be right or happy? right? Have you ever noticed that when you are blaming someone or blaming something, if you check honestly your feelings in that moment, you're not happy? I see Mary Ellen's in the room. Mary Ellen's a friend of mine, so I'm going to pick on her for a moment. If I am blaming Mary Ellen for something and I'm talking to someone else and I'm telling them what Mary Ellen did, in that moment that I'm discussing my guilty Mary Ellen, I'm not happy, right? There's some kind of upset in me. If I want to be right about Mary Ellen being wrong, then I am forfeiting happiness. True happiness, perfect happiness, comes from what we might call a healed mind, or awakening, or realization of truth. And that is the same as letting go of the ego. True happiness or perfect happiness comes from letting go of the ego, which means if I want perfect happiness, if I'd rather be happy than right, then I need to notice my ego and choose to let go of it. So back to the rule. If I am upset about anything, it's because I'm looking through my ego right now. It has nothing to do with anything Mary Ellen did, and I don't care if everybody in the world would agree with me that Mary Ellen was guilty. That's still not the answer. I don't care if Mary Ellen was full-blown ego in the moment. That's still not my problem. My problem is that I'm an ego too. You see, Mary Ellen can be in full-blown ego, and if I'm in my right mind, I will not be upset by anything she says or does. So her being an ego is not an excuse for me being upset. If I am upset for any reason, it is because I am looking through my ego right now. So then, if I will accept that rule, what I can do is back away from any situation, go within, see what I need to see, and release what I need to release. Right? But first, I have to accept that if I am upset, it is because I am looking through my ego right now. And it's helpful to remember that what I want is to let go of ego, which means right now I want to back out of the situation. I don't want to get in a fight with Mary Ellen. I don't want to try to change Mary Ellen. I don't want to go talking to everyone else and try and get them to agree with me that Mary Ellen is wrong. I want to back out of this situation and go within with spirit, see what I need to see, and release it, and change my mind about it. Now, the other way to find blind spots, okay, one way is by believing and following that rule. I'm only upset because of my ego. The other is by watching this body. That comes from NTI, watching this body. You know, in NTI, Holy Spirit says that the actions we take come from the thoughts we are giving the most belief to. The actions we take in the world come from the thoughts we are giving the most belief to. So what I can do then is I can observe what this body does. And I can see what this body is believing. For example, people often say things like, I am not a body. I am not a body. All right, we get that from A Course in Miracles. I am not a body. We may come into pal talk or go to our course groups, and even when we see somebody else saying something, talking about their body, we may remind them, you're not a body. I'm not a body. Right? At the intellectual level, we're very good at saying, I am not a body. But at the same time, when we look in the mirror, we may be very upset by the fat around our waist or the fat on our thighs We may be trying different diet programs, going from one diet program to another diet program. If we pay any attention to what we are doing, we may be saying, I am not a body. But our action is showing us that in reality, we believe very much that we are. And not only that, we believe that we can be worthy or unworthy based on the state the body is in, based on how good it looks. So, watching the body can help us see where we really need to focus some willingness for healing. We can notice if we watch the body, if we really pay attention, again, without judgment. None of this is going to work if we're judging ourselves because we're not going to see what we need to see. But we will start noticing when the phone rings and our caller ID shows a person's name and we say, oh, geez, because we really don't want to talk to that person. If we are paying attention, we'll notice that and we can start to look at that. Wait a minute. What's here? What needs to be seen? Why am I having a negative reaction to seeing that person's name on the phone? Right? We'll start noticing that there's some story that every time somebody calls, Lisa calls, I tell the story, Lynn calls, I tell the story, Dove calls, I tell the story, Adele calls, I tell the story. Wait a minute. I keep telling this story over and over again. Why? I want people to agree with me that I was a victim in that situation. I start noticing, I may be saying, I am not a victim, but I'm telling the story over and over again and getting people to agree that indeed I was a victim in that particular situation. We start finding out that there's a lot of healing. We may be saying all the right things because we've learned from A Course in Miracles these mantras. But our belief is still very tied up with ego. And if we can see this without judgment, we can actually be happy to see. Because our purpose is to let go of ego, and we cannot let go of what we do not see. So if I can see how bothered I am by my physical appearance, I can begin to give willingness to be healed of whatever needs to be healed. If I can see that I am upset by a certain name showing up on my caller ID, I can give willingness to see what I need to see and be healed so that I can accept all brothers equally lovingly. Right? If I can see that I want everyone else to agree with me that I'm a victim, that I can begin to give willingness to see that I truly am not a victim, to honestly see that, so that I could never let that belief cross my mind again. But first I have to see the errors. First I have to be willing to find where I'm still very caught up in ego and not judge myself for it. So that's the end of that particular blog post. And the next one seems to maybe go along with it by the title. It's called Give Willingness to Lay Your Judgments Aside. If you are in this particular blog post with me, you can just go to the top and click on Give Willingness to Lay Your Judgments Aside, and you will be at the next message. If you have not been in the blog with us and you would like to join us now, I am giving you a link right now that will take you to the next message. But before we go into the next message, I'm going to let go of the mic and see if anybody has questions or comments about truly wanting to see our blind spots without judgment so that we can heal. All right, here you go.
Regina, thanks. And I am familiar with the Johari window, and just my question, if I could get clarity on something. I've often heard it said in 12-step groups, like, well, if something's annoying you, you know, in your brother, then you have that same trait. Now, I'm not necessarily thinking that's the case, that I necessarily have the same trait, but that whatever trait they have that's annoying to me is touching on one of my own character defects, to use 12-step terms. So in other words, if a person is dishonest, doesn't have to necessarily mean I'm dishonest, or they're stealing, doesn't have to necessarily mean that I'm stealing, but that I am holding them, you know, I'm judging because I'm thinking that they're morally, anyway, I'm not phrasing this good. If I could just get your take on that, if I see something in my brother that's annoying to me, does that mean I have the exact same trait, or is it bringing up something else in me? Potentially. Thank you.
Yeah, Monica, no, you have it correct. It does not mean that you have the exact same trait as a personality. It does mean that you are judging the trait, or that the trait is pushing a button in you. For example, if you had a brother, I don't know what your family relationship is, but let's imagine that you have a brother, and every time you talk to him on the phone, he's telling you how stupid you are, right? Well, maybe you see that as rude, right? And you say, I'm not rude. I don't know why that bothers me. I'm nice to everyone. Well, it may be very true that you're not rude, but what is happening is you may deep down inside believe that you are stupid, or believe that you are unworthy in some way. And what's happening is when he calls you stupid, is pushing a button in you. So it could be just our simple judgment of the action. It could also be that it's in harmony with a false belief that we hold. So that's one reason why it's helpful to ask Holy Spirit to help me see what I need to see. One mistake that we sometimes make is we get the thinking mind and the analyzing mind involved, trying to figure it out based on what we've learned in A Course in Miracles, for example. I'm all for throwing away the thinking mind, just asking within, what do I need to see? And my experience has been, what I need to see is shown. But yeah, just because your brother's rude doesn't mean you're rude. But it does mean there's something there you need to see. Lynn, I saw your hand up. Do you want to take the mic?
Just going to post this. We talked about it when we were doing the original edition study in chapter 7, where Jesus does say that outside the kingdom, which is where we believe we are, the law that prevails inside is adapted to what you project you believe. This is its teaching form, because outside the kingdom, learning is essential. This form implies that you will learn what you are you will learn what you are from what you have projected onto others, and therefore believe they are. And so, you know, what Jesus is saying here that I see is that I'm actually the one who's projecting that the person is a thief or a liar, or, you know, whatever it is that I am, my opinion of them is, I'm projecting that onto them, and that is how I know what thoughts are in my own mind.
Well, it's funny, if we use the example of thief, you know, some of you may know that I had a friend living with me for a while. Her name is Debbie, and at one time, you know, we could probably call it as a career choice, Debbie was a thief. And just looking at the form of it, you know, what Debbie would do is she would stake out houses, and she would, you know, go into houses when she felt that it was safe to go into them, and she would take everything that she thought was valuable and then, you know, sell it. And this is what we would call a thief. The interesting thing is, I'm totally aware of what Debbie did, and when I look at Debbie, I do not see a thief. It does not mean that I'm, you know, denying these activities that she participated in. It's just, I see her differently. Honestly, when I look at Debbie, I see the light that she is. I also see how confused she is. How she listens to ego. I see how she's calling out for help. I see her willingness. And it's interesting because, again, if you pay close attention to what I see, right? That's a reflection of my mind. I see. Hold on one second. Yes, my love.
Bill texted me and he said he's back.
Bill's where? Here in Pueblo West?
I don't know.
Okay, Bill might be in Pueblo West,
Stop.
But we'll check on that later. We'll check on that rumor later. Okay, but right now I'm teaching, okay? So, here, you want to kiss? Now I got my dogs all excited because Lisa Hansen says it is true. So we have confirmation of a Bill free in Pueblo West. There we go. So that's good news. What was I saying? Oh, yes. Back to Debbie. The way I see Debbie, yeah, a Bill sighting. We have confirmation of a Bill free sighting in Pueblo West. Okay, so the way I see Debbie is a reflection of my mind. I see light. I see willingness. I see desire to heal. Now, I do know that not everyone sees Debbie that way, right? And none of that changes the fact that she did, as a career choice, break into houses and steal things, right? So, what do you see when you see someone? Do you see the thief? Do you see the light? Do you see the willingness? You know, what is it that you see? So that's a good question. All right. So what we'll do now, I guess, unless there are any other hands, if there are, put them up. But what we will do next is we will go to the next message, which I've already given the link once, but we've been chatting, so maybe somebody else came into the room. Here's another link. I'm giggling at the Bill Free sighting. I think that's funny. It's good that he's here. I look forward to seeing him. I'll contact him later. Oh, you know what? This is a little bit of a long message. I'm going to go ahead and start it, but you know what? Unless we zip through it in 12 minutes, I'm going to revisit it again next week. But I do feel like going ahead and starting it, so let's just do that. It says, give willingness to lay your judgments aside. And this is a message from Spirit to me. Here we go. When you look at the world, remember that you are looking through the filter of your mind. I think we just discussed that with the Debbie example, right? When you look at the world, remember that you are looking through the filter of your mind. When you find yourself reacting to the world you see, remember that you are only reacting to the thoughts in your mind. This will provide the opportunity to see the thoughts that you think. So as you can see, we have a similar theme going on here. So this must have been what I needed to learn at this particular time in 2007. So if I am reacting to Debbie when she tells me about her stealing, if I'm reacting to her, I'm not actually reacting to Debbie. That's the funny part. It may seem like I'm reacting to Debbie, but what I'm really reacting to are the thoughts in my mind. You know? And if I realize that, again, we're back to my rule. If I am upset, it is because I am looking through my ego right now. If I realize that, Lisa says Jamie has to go out, but actually she's laying on the floor playing with Jasmine. And Jasmine is petting her, and when she stops petting her, Jamie starts crying because she wants to be pet more. So that's what's going on. Yeah. Yeah. So again, if I remember the rule, if I'm upset about anything, it's because I'm looking through my ego right now, or the way Spirit is wording it here. The only reason I am upset or reacting is because of the thoughts in my mind. This gives me an opportunity to step back and look at the thoughts in my mind. You know, I may step back and I may see when I'm upset thoughts like, he's taking advantage of me. I'm not really upset because of the situation. I'm upset because of that thought. He's taking advantage of me. Right? And sometimes people will say, well, wait a minute, Regina. If we just let go of thoughts like that, we open the door for everybody to take advantage of us. That's just not true. You know, that's the funny thing. That's the ego fear, but that's just not true. When we let go of ideas of being taken advantage of, or let go of ideas of being used, for example, all that happens is that we have removed an obstacle to love's presence within us. Do you know what that means? That means that we hear and know love's guidance more clearly. It doesn't mean that the world is now able to take advantage with us because we've put our guard down. It means we are more clear on what to say and what to do in love without judgment in every situation. It's amazing and it's wonderful, but we'll never get there if we're afraid to let go of ideas like he's taking advantage of me. So again, whenever we're reacting to anything, whenever we're upset with anything, it's because of the thoughts in our own mind. It's not because of anything or anyone else. And if we will accept this as a rule, then we can use our upset as a trigger or a reminder to step back and look at the mind, to see what we haven't yet seen, and therefore we have not yet released. Holy Spirit continues in the second paragraph. As you watch the world through the filter of your mind, you will think you see many things. Some will seem good, heartwarming, funny, happy, and desirable. Others will seem frightening, horrible, wrong, disgusting, and undesirable. And there will seem to be a sliding scale of good and bad and every thought that is in between. Now, remember again that you are looking through the filter of your mind, which means the concepts of good and bad must be thought there. Surely you will see that these thoughts are yours. You are the proud owner of the judgments you have made. Recognizing that you own your judgments is important. For if you are the owner or the believer of what you think, then you can also decide to choose again and allow yourself to think differently. I just realized as I was reading this that this is from NTI. And in fact, I looked down at the bottom and sure enough, this is NTI Luke chapter 13 verses 1 to 8. So we're actually reading something that I posted from NTI. At least part of it. I don't know if all of it is. I don't think the first two paragraphs were, but maybe. Oh, Bill's actually 22 miles away from Pueblo West. Looks like his text to Jasmine was a little excited. He's almost here. You know, it's funny because today when we were driving through Pueblo West, we saw this cute little prairie dog standing up on the side of the road, and everybody in my car looked at the cute little prairie dog and said, oh, how cute, you know, standing right there on the side of the road. And then I happened to glance in the rearview mirror, and I saw the car behind me swerve to the side of the road and try to hit the prairie dog. And then I noticed in my car, the mood changed for some of the people in my car. Now something bad had happened. Somebody had tried to hit the cute little prairie dog, right? This is what Spirit is talking about. Some things will seem good, heartwarming, funny, happy, desirable. Monica says her mood just changed. Some will seem, you know, frightening, horrible, wrong, disgusting, and undesirable, right? The scale of good and bad is in our mind. And then the next thing he asks us to notice is that we are the proud owners of the judgments we make. You know, like let's talk about, you know, Monica's giving us a word, cruel, okay? This is a word she's giving us for the man behind me that tried to swerve and hit the prairie dog. I don't think he did, though, but he at least tried. Cruel. All right? If you are in agreement with that judgment, or if you can even imagine being in agreement with that judgment for right now, and you might be able to imagine it because you may have had similar judgments on another situation, you'll notice that there might be a righteous feeling in judging someone else cruel. If you pay close attention, really close attention, subtle attention, you will notice that something in you likes being able to judge your brother as cruel. All right? This is what spirit means when he says you are the proud owner of your judgment. Right? Doesn't matter whether you're on the, oh, what a cute prairie dog judgment. That's your judgment and you're happy to have it. Or whether you're on the, that man was cruel for trying to kill the prairie dog judgment. You're actually happy to have that judgment as well. And this is what spirit wants you to see, because if you can recognize, literally, this is my judgment. Again, it's not an inherent meaning. It's not an inherent meaning. It's my meaning. I'm the one giving this event this meaning. If you can accept that ownership, then you are one step closer to allowing that judgment to be healed. You can't allow it to be healed if you won't even claim it as yours. If you just say it's a fact of the circumstance. But if you say, yes, I agree. I'm the one that's making that judgment. I'm the one that believes it. You're a step closer. I remember the way many healings started for me is by me saying, I believe this thought. For example, if it was, in my case, the prairie dog. Actually, I didn't feel that way. I noticed it, but I didn't judge it. I noticed it, but I didn't judge it. But let's say I had. Let's say that my mood had changed when I saw the man swerve to hit the prairie dog. Okay? Let's imagine that happened for a moment. Then the way that I would start the healing in that process was to say, I believe that he was cruel. I believe that he was mean. I believe that. I believe that. But I give my willingness to see that I'm wrong. That's my starting point. The starting point is accepting responsibility for my belief, for my perception, and then giving willingness to see that I am wrong. And that goes back to an earlier discussion we had, right? How could I give willingness to see that I'm wrong if I'm still judging myself, my ego? Right? I have to be willing to be wrong and accept my wrongness without judgment in order to hand it over to Holy Spirit, so that it can be undone, so that it can be healed. I'll just read these last two paragraphs quickly, and then if I feel like they need more discussion, we'll come back next week. But I have a minute left, so let's read. At first, you may not see why you should want to change some of the judgments you have made. For example, your judgment against child molesters. So I ask this of you. Remember that judgment is like a knife that separates the Son of God. This means that as long as you hold onto your judgment as something that has value, you are blind to the beauty and value of the sight of the Son of God. And now, with that thought in your mind, can you give your willingness to lay your judgments aside, whatever they may seem to be? If you can find but a bit of willingness to see the Son of God and not to judge, that is enough. If each time you notice your judgments, you give your willingness in whatever measure it may seem to be, that is enough again. I bless you with my gratitude each time you give me but the smallest measure of your willingness, for each small measure is useful to me in the healing of your mind. In other words, what Spirit is saying is if we continue to value our judgments, we will never see the true beauty of the Son of God. We'll never know the truth. We'll never know only love. Is that what we want? Is judgment more important to us than knowing only love, than knowing truth? Probably not. So, although it may seem like a valuable judgment, like judging the child molesters, may seem worthwhile, like they deserve to be judged, can we at least admit we'd rather know only love first? And if we can admit that, then maybe we can give willingness to let go of our judgments. Okay, I went over. I apologize, but I'm out of here now. Bye.